Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is May 28th, 2020, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to motorvitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years and years of them, or you can get the live updates by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or any of those things. We love having you on live, though, because we love the discussions. And speaking of which, next week we will be having a guest speaker, Marianne Metzger, who used to be lab director at National Testing Labs, but has since moved over to ResinTech. And ResinTech, some of you may remember, we have Larry Gottlieb on talking about PFAS and 1,4-dioxane. Last year he was on as a guest, but ResinTech has built a very sophisticated state-of-the-art laboratory, and they're now offering water testing. And I've known Marianne for years, super excited to have her on as a guest next week. But she's going to talk about the process, you know, what you need to do to have samples, you know, if you're pulling a sample, if you're, you know, proper sampling techniques and the types of things that you can test for in the field versus in a lab, and why you would do one or the other. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. I'm really excited to have her on. So please put that on your calendar for next week. Next Thursday, and we will send out emails and information about that coming up. So beyond that, let me start the call off the way I do just about every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions anybody has? Anybody? Well, then I will jump right into the topic. And I am hoping that we can kind of have a discussion on this one because, you know, just kind of talk about some of the things that you guys have learned. One of the things that I really love about this call, or that I try and do with this call, is to give information about things that I had to learn the hard way. You know, I mean, I remember coming into the industry, and there's some really common sense stuff. You know, I mean, I literally, this is like, you know, when I went out in sales, things that now I look back at it and I'm like, oh my God, I can't even believe that I didn't figure that out first. But, you know, especially in the wintertime where, you know, you pull in and it's light out, and you pull in and you go to the appointment, and then you, when you leave, it's dark, and trying to get turned around in a driveway when there's landscaping fences and stuff like that around, you know, it's you learn to turn around before, you know, to position the car in a way that you can just drive right out of the driveway when, at night, instead of having to turn around. I mean, it's just little things like that weren't really in the sales training or the training that I got, you know, stuff that you kind of learn the hard way. You know, you back over a landscaping fence and somebody gets upset about it, and now you're like, you know, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, not that ever happened to me. Actually, it did. And I mean, so, you know, I remember the first time, well, I mean, it was probably a year after, you know, that the whole time I was in the industry. I mean, everybody knows that, not everybody, but most people I think know that an anode rod in the water heater will cause a smell. You know, you get this anode rod, and you get, it's made out of magnesium, and the naturally occurring bacteria that's in the water, it tends to eat that magnesium. Because you don't have calcium, you don't have hardness in the water. This is with the water softener. You don't have hardness in the water to coat that magnesium rod, that anode rod. And so the bacteria have a heyday. They feast on it and they produce the waste product. You know, it's hydrogen. It's hydrogen sulfide producing bacteria. And so that's what causes that rotten egg smell in the water heater. Well, you know, the first year I was in the industry, everybody says, oh, it's easy. It's an easy fix. All you got to do is just replace the anode rod with another one. It's just a little hex nut. You just replace it or cut it off. You know, if you cut it off, it voids the warranty sometimes in the water heater, but the smell goes away and nobody is ever going to, you know, by the time the smell comes, the anode rod's already done the job it needs to do. And, you know, just all the stuff that I had heard that made sense to me. I mean, I don't know if some of you have heard it or not, but the truth is I'd never seen an anode rod pulled. Okay. So I knew that they had described it. I'd seen what they looked like because I'd seen them come back to the office thrown away or, you know, in the dumpsters or, you know, from the service. I'd seen them on the service vans, but I'd never actually seen one pulled before. And so I remember one Saturday I had a couple bad experiences with anode rods. One Saturday I had a customer she was a single mom. And I just, you know, I felt I'm going to help her. I mean, we charged quite a bit of money, to go out and pull, and as we should have, right? Because there's a cost associated with the service guys going out there with all the tools and doing it and everything. So, I mean, it was going to cost her, you know, $200 for us to go out there and pull this anode rod. Well, I decided I'm going to do it myself. So I took my socket set with my tools, and I went out there and found the hex nut that was easy to find right on the top of the water heater, and I chugged and pulled on that thing, and I could not get it off. Well, at this point, I had not heard yet that you really, and this is another one of those duh moments, right? Where you're going, I can't believe I didn't know that. It's like, but I went out there and I fought with that thing like crazy, and I could not get that hex nut out. I'm like, man, it's a new water heater. You know, it's a new house, new water heater. And I was trying to help the lady, and I was, you know, banging around her water heater, and it's stupid me. I never released the pressure off the water heater. I never took the pressure off. So of course the hex nut wasn't coming out. But I couldn't get it. I fought with that thing for an hour and couldn't get it out. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry. Her name was Glenda. I said, I'm sorry, Glenda. I couldn't. I don't know how to do it. I was really sad about it. Well, then she called me a couple hours later and she said, you know, I have a company coming and I don't have hot water now. I'm like, oh man. So basically I tore up her water heater. I messed something up fighting with it over there. And this, by the way, is why salespeople should not normally be going out and doing service. Because, you know, we have a service department who knows what we're doing, or, you know, who knows what they're doing. Me, in that regard, I'll admit I was always more of a do as I say, not as I do, because, man, I can tell you so many nightmare scenarios where this was, you know, I was in sales before shark bites were invented, and how many times they'd turn off a gate valve or something. It always seemed to happen on Saturdays too. You know, turn off a gate valve and the thing pops out and water spraying all over the place. And you're trying to get, I had to get my ex-father-in-law because I was at that time was no good at sweating pipe at all. And I'd called my ex-father-in-law to come, like sweat on a shutoff valve that I'd torn up on a Saturday. So good rule of thumb with this. If it looks like it's old and corroded and going to break, my suggestion is don't touch it and explain that you're not going to touch it, because you break it, you bought it, right? It sort of makes it your responsibility. You can't just leave water pouring. Even if your best intention is to help somebody, you can't just leave water pouring all over their basement or turn their water off and leave them without water because, you know, regardless of whether you were just trying to get a water sample or test or whatever, you got to kind of be smart about what you're touching. Nowadays, I'll tell you, if I were in sales and out there and going to do all of that stuff, I think I would carry maybe a couple shark bite valves with me, you know, just or couplers or something, just in case something like that happened and I needed to, you know, as a temporary fix, just to get them water. I think I'd probably have that stuff. But the better rule of thumb would be not to touch it. We have a service department and installers for a reason. You know, we're not plumbers. We're not going out there to do all that stuff. My second anode rod story, by the way, and I think I've told this one before. I went back to the office and I talked to the service techs. I'm like, I couldn't get that thing out. And I had to spend, I called an emergency plumber and put it on my credit card to fix Glenda's water, by the way. So $400 it cost me to try and help her. I mean, obviously I couldn't charge that to the company. It's my doing. But the next time I tried to do it was on a new house, and I had gone back and talked to the service techs, and they said, you're not going to get that with a normal socket. You need a breaker bar. You need to get, you know, you need to put some torque on it. So that makes perfect sense. So I got this hollow bar that I could wrap around the arm of my wrench. And I went over to another house one time and was pulling the anode rod for that. I'm like, everybody says this is easy. It's so easy. This is supposed to be easy. So I got that bar on there, the torque bar, and I pulled that thing. And sure enough, I got the hex nut unscrewed enough that hot water started spewing out, and the rods shot up because the pressure in that tank, it shot up so hard, it bruised my shoulder because it shot my wrench up over my breaker bar. It bruised my shoulder. It threw it back on my shoulder. And then the rod shot up so hard that it cracked the tile upstairs. Like it hit the basement, the bottom of the floor, which was the basement ceiling, and cracked the piece of tile, the ceramic that was laid upstairs. That's how hard that thing shot up. And hot water spewing out of there, you know, scalding me like crazy and everything. All because I never... I didn't release the pressure on it. And we do get customers out there. I'm sure some of you that have been doing this a long time, you run across those customers that I can't get the filter off. How do I get the filter off? You know, there's no way to, I've pulled on that thing. I'm going to break the plumbing or whatever, because they don't realize that there's a button. You know, they didn't isolate it. They didn't turn the shutoff valves on either side. And then there's usually a pressure release button on that filter housing that you press to get the pressure off. Then it's easy. You open the thing up, you know, no problem. Anyway, there's so much stuff out there that we don't know that we go into. And I think as salespeople, I've seen this a lot. As I've just described, I'm really, really guilty of this, more so than I really like to admit, but I think it's important to recognize the flaw. You know, you hear people say, oh, it's easy. You can do it all the time. It's not a problem. It's super simple. Well, if somebody says that, my suggestion to you is that you take the time to actually see it, because it might be simple to somebody who does this stuff all the time or who's mechanically inclined. It may not be simple for your customers or for, you know, other people there. I've noticed that. So this week and last week, I found myself in a situation where I'm helping out one of our clients, and I'm driving a service van around. And so I've been doing service and fixing leaks and changing filters and, you know, playing service van. And this has been, now, you know, after 22 years of experience in the industry, I've got a lot more experience than I had when I first came in a year into it, to be sure. But it has been a stark reminder to me, number one, how hard these guys work. And that was the topic that I kind of wanted to highlight today is, you know, one of the things that I wanted to highlight today is that if you haven't spent time not only writing with your service techs or your installers, but getting your hands dirty, actually watching and learning how to do this stuff, I think you're missing a little bit of some critical education. So again, I'm not recommending that you personally go out there and service and doing that kind of stuff. I can attest to it will get you in trouble going out there and trying to, even if you're trying to help a customer, you know, messing with stuff, fooling around with it, you know, trying to fix stuff. I mean, my problem is I'm a lot braver than smart sometimes. So I'll delve into something and, you know, do more damage to it than I should have done. But so I'm not suggesting you go out and service stuff unless that's part of what your job is. I am suggesting, though, that you go out there and really learn what your team is doing. This week, being on the truck, I mean, even just delivering bags of salt, you know, I delivered 25 bags of salt the other day. And, you know, carried it down in the basement and ran the check and, you know, check the system. And I had to, you know, I get down there and you run into this, you know, so I'm delivering salt and I'm doing the system check. And the customer says, can you take my salt tank out and clean it out? It's got, you know, got a lot of dirt and grime and stuff in it. Well, normally, you know, the company would charge extra for that, but there was just a little bit of salt, like, you know, just 8 inches of salt down in the bottom of the salt tank. And I had a dolly. And so I, in on it again, boy, sucker that I am, right? Because what I would recommend to a service tech is to say, well, you know, there is an additional charge for that. I can do that, you know, and so on and so forth. Not me. I grabbed that thing, fought with it, took it upstairs, took it out in the, away from her yard, you know, to where it wouldn't destroy her flowers and pulled all the salt out so I could salvage the salt that she had in there, sprayed the thing out. You know, it was, and the whole time I'm thinking, this is what our technicians run into every single day. They're fighting with this stuff every day. Additionally, trying to, you know, climb out, there was a leaky faucet, one of the connectors on a faucet was dripping under a sink, you know, and to get on your back and climb down underneath that sink and try and connect that fixture, that faucet. I think it's really important to recognize what these guys are running into on, you know, every single day on a daily basis. Okay, so I wanted to be a monologue. That's actually, yes, Jerry, I was getting ready to say, I wanted to open it up for discussion here and see what you guys thought about this and see where you guys were, because like I said, I didn't want this to be an entire monologue, so please jump in.
Okay, you actually touched on a couple of things I'd just like to add to it a little bit. One, first of all, if you have not done something, but you've seen someone else do it, and they do it well, they can often make it look easy. Case in point, that anode rod, you know, but most people, unfortunately, are not really good communicators or teachers. That's a skill in itself. And so when you talk to the service techs or whoever that you talk to about that, they said, oh, you have to have a breaker bar. I didn't hear you say they told you that you had to release the pressure.
No, they never did. The second incident happened when I did damage to the tile floor. Exactly.
Yeah, and so, you know, I've been involved in things like that myself where, well, that looks easy. I can do that. And then I end up getting into trouble with it. So my recommendation on that is ask questions. Yeah, you know. When you think you know all of, when you think it's been explained, go through it step by step and make sure that's everything that you have to do. And the other thing is when you go, you're at your suggestion to go out with the service techs and see what they do, and that will add value to what you're selling. When you see the complexity of the work that they do and how difficult it is, that will add value to your sales. And so there are a couple things there that I think that are really, really critical. And then I have a question, and this is not really related to the call, but should those anode rods be replaced or is it okay just to take them out?
Okay, so technically, it's a good question and probably other people have the same question if they're not aware. So Let me go back and explain exactly more detail what an anode rod is so that you understand what's going on with it.
I know what they are and what they, and others may not, but I know what they are and what they do, and I know they, right. You've got that sludge in there, but does that dissolve over time, or should you replace the anode rod?
Well, you, according to the warranties and the, you know, the instructions on a water heater, you should replace it. So, but the, so inside of a water heater, they coat the inside of it with molten glass when they build them. And that molten glass has, it potentially can have weak spots in it, little dips in the glass where you had a bubble that burst or something like that. So the anode rod is designed to dissolve and put a coating on the inside of that hot water heater so that you can, it clogs those holes, you know, and prevents it from rusting through or corroding through. It's designed to dissolve slowly over time, but they're built to work in hard water because 85% of homes in America have hard water. So when you have a water softener, then you don't have the hardness to coat that rod, and so the rod dissolves faster, and it creates a feast for the naturally occurring bacteria in the water. That primarily happens on well water where you do not have the chlorine in the water, because the chlorine, of course, would kill the bacteria in the water. But so that's when you put a softener in. So the solution to that, in order to maintain the validity of the warranty, is to install a rod that dissolves slower. It still dissolves, but dissolves slower. So usually they're made out of aluminum and zinc, and so you get an aluminum zinc rod and put it in. So that's the best way to do it, the way you're supposed to do it. I can tell you, I cut my rod off. When I had my house, and my water heater did start to leak, and it was probably 13, 14 years before it started to leak, which is pretty typical for a water heater anyway. I mean, I've seen them go 30 years without leaking, but that rod's way gone after 10 years. It's not doing anything anymore anyway after that. So you should replace the rod. Most people probably don't. Most people just take it and cut it off. But anyway, going back to the topic on the service, you know, the other thing that I think is important to understand, like I said, is, you know, I delivered 25 bags of salt the other day. I was sore at the end of the day. I mean, that was hard, you know, to carry that salt down and put it in. And it gave me a real appreciation for what these guys are out there doing every single day, you know. So what are the thoughts do we have in terms of, you know, the things that you learn or how you would learn, and, you know, what do you guys think about this topic or your experiences?
Hey, Kelly, it's Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
One of the things I learned is the service guys will talk about the sales reps that do not help when they ride.
Yeah.
I will hear them. They'll tell me, it's like, can you believe that little twerp? He's 25 years old, and he didn't bother to carry a single salt bag.
Yeah.
And they're like, here you are carrying salt bags.
Yeah.
They will harass the younger guys.
And you're 29.
Always, huh?
And you're 29. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. But a lot of service guys will tell me, it's like, they'll tell me who doesn't help when they ride with them. And it's like, why are they even bothering to ride? Because half the time they don't even pay that much attention.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Ask questions. They want to be the expert, but also help carry salt bags.
Yeah. Seriously. And that's why there's such sometimes a disconnect between service and salespeople is, you know, that they don't think that salespeople understand exactly. I mean, we've had this conversation before, and I'm not going to get into that in terms of a lot of the personality differences, but it is really important to build that relationship there and earn that respect, to understand what they're going through. Absolutely. Get involved there and help. I've heard service people say, or installers especially, they'll say about the salespeople. They'll say it takes a sales guy 2 minutes to say it, but an installer 2 hours to do it. You know, so it's really easy for that sales guy to say, yeah, we'll put a nano rod for you, no problem. I'll throw that in for you. And then the service guy, you know, that adds another, yeah, we'll clean out that salt tank for you, no problem. We'll fix that leaky faucet for you, no problem. We're under there anyway. That'd be easy, right? You start saying things like that, and, you know, now you've got 45 minutes to an hour of doing this thing that you just threw in that wasn't part of the normal, you know, the normal job. And now, no wonder service techs or installers get upset when they, you know, they're coming in after working a couple extra hours. You know, they got there at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're rolling in at 5 o'clock, and they see you pull in, obviously having just gotten off the golf course, you know, because, you know, you went out and played in a builder's golf league or something that day. You know, no wonder there's animosity, especially when you're just standing there not carrying that salt and doing that stuff. That being said, and on the flip side of that, I think it's really important that the service techs or the installers understand what it's like for you to go on a sales call too. You know, they've not had the experience of having that sale canceled because of something that they screwed up on or messed up on. And, you know, they've not had to have the conversation with their spouse that, hey, we're not going to have enough to make the car payment this month because I, you know, my sale got canceled or I had a bad, you know, a slow month. They didn't have that experience of going out there on a cold, rainy, dark night to present to a little old lady who just wanted to tell you how she came up with all of the names for her cats, you know, and they don't have those experiences. So it is really important that we talk to each other and we learn that stuff. But my point on this call today was that I think that to what you were saying, Jerry, especially, what's easy for somebody else, just because we hear, oh, that's easy, that's easy. I think it's really important to get in there and know what easy is. Okay, it's easy, but easy can get you in trouble unless you've actually done it, you know. So,
Kelly, can I kind of add, as you know, when we're training new sales professionals, it's mandatory that they ride with service at least a couple times the first couple months, and then, you know, at least once a month after that. But not only does it, you know, you learn a lot from them. One of the things that you learn from them is each installer or each service technician has a different style. I mean, the bottom line, or, you know, the final product is always the same, but they have a different style. So you learn those styles. And what they like to know when you're filling out the plumbing assessment, or what special instructions that they like to see. So I think that's another really important part of riding with service, is just getting to know the individual service technicians on a professional level, but also on a personal level, because riding all day with somebody, you learn a lot about them. And maybe you'll realize that, you know, they don't show up 5 minutes to 8, but they show up right at 8 o'clock, but that's because of, you know, they have to drop their kids off for school, or they're taking care of an elderly parent or something like that. You know, so you learn a lot about them. And I think that's really important for team camaraderie and understanding them.
Completely. Completely. Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts or comments on this? Next week, Marianne Metzger, please put it on your calendar. Just welcome her with open arms. Anybody else? All right. Thanks, everybody. It is always my honor and pleasure, and I appreciate it a lot. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thank you, everybody. Be safe.